The views and opinions expressed by guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the host or producers. Any products and services discussed or statements and claims made by the guests remain the responsibility of the guests. Content is shared for informational and educational purposes only. The host and producers are not liable for the accuracy, legality, or sensitivity of any statements made or information shared by the guests. Listener and viewer discretion is advised.
Dion, lucky to have you in studio. Thank you for joining me. I know that you took a trip from all the way from PE.
Great.
Kubeja.
Kubeja, yes.
You took a trip all the way from there, and then you had to sit in Joburg traffic to get to the studio this morning, so I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Quite looking forward to our discussion today. So we're gonna be discussing Hans Grohe. Am I pronouncing it correctly, Tian?
Hans Grohe is correct. Yes, I know there's quite a few ways for people to say the name, but Hans Grohe is good. I think a lot of people understand it that way. Yes. Yeah. And thank you very much for the opportunity. I mean, it's a great opportunity for me to be here. This type of exposure is very difficult to get, and also the chance to speak to our plumbers. Yeah. Mm.
But I also think, Tian, you'll remember off air before we started recording, you and I spoke of the value of actually giving information or sharing information with the installers, with the plumbers. And the type of scenarios that you find, and we'll delve into that a little bit later during the conversation, but the fact is that you find a lot of incorrectly installed products and those kind of things, and hence the value of conversations and podcasts and training sessions.
Yes.
To actually tell the guys and inform and share the correct information with them. Yes, they get to know the brand, they get to know the products, but also those tips and advice and those kind of things that they so desperately need.
Yeah.
But Tian, let's start off with the beginning. Let's go to what is Hans Grohe's, who and what is Hans Grohe? What is the origins, the international footprint, the local footprint? Where did it all start? Core values. I'm going to give the floor to you.
Great. Thank you, Willem. Yeah, it's a company that's been around for quite some time. I think you and I were both in nappies when that happened. So it basically started off with a gentleman called Hans Grohe, hence the name.
Hans Grohe.
Hans Grohe, the brand. And he, as a young man, took up weaving. Funny enough, it was weaving. And then
I suppose that's also a trade.
It is a trade. I think at that stage it was a trade. So he then moved to a very small place in the Kinzig River, which is based in Schiltach in the Black Forest.
And which country is it?
It's in Germany.
Germany.
It's in Germany. All right. Yes.
So Hans Grohe is a German origin.
German origin. So he actually moved from Luckenwalde, which is very close to Berlin, and he took his family to this small place in the Black Forest called Schiltach, and he basically went there because of his love for that area, and what a lot of people don't know is that Schiltach was very well known for precision handicraft work, like, for instance, clocks and, all sorts of other metal works. So that it was very precision-orientated work that was done there. So it basically started when he went there in 1898, and then he started working in that area with other people within their businesses, didn't straight go into metal works or anything. So he was great with fixing things, and people soon saw that. And one of the gentlemen then approached him and said, but why don't you start with me? And he was doing metal works. He had a little metal workshop. And that is where in 1901,
That long ago?
That's correct, yes.
I thought you said we
were still in nappies.
I thought you said we were in nappies.
I feel that old. But so that is basically where it started. So in 1901, he started off very small in a little cottage shop with five other people. And he started doing metal press work, press metal goods for bathrooms.
Okay.
Also parts for clocks. And in that started doing tin showers. Because as an innovative person, but also a visionary, he could see that there was a need for showers because people were also then, at the turn of the 20th century, started to realize that they could have bathrooms inside their houses.
Mm.
It was normally communal little areas. And then he said, well, but lavish bathing and stuff like that was quite expensive for people. And then he started manufacturing little tin showers. And that is how it started. A very small place, but because Hans was a visionary and also an innovator, he was one of the first, what they call journeymen, that went outside of his area to go and market product. And it wasn't heard of at that stage. And then also took it outside of Germany. And that is where that thing started. So that innovative nature basically put us where we are today as a manufacturer of sanitary brassware products in the bathroom and kitchen facets of this industry. And it's continuously growing. So that was the start of it. His sons joined him in the business. So it was a family-run business. Mm-hmm. And later on, I will also get to a gentleman, the youngest son, Klaus, who's still alive. I think he's 88 now. He was born in 1937, so the math you can do, I don't know. But he's 88 now. He's still around and he's still involved in a way, but he has the same innovative nature as his dad. And that was a pivotal change for us when Klaus took over.
Mm.
So it's still today we're using products that he invented for the bathroom industry. So, so it is actually, to be completely honest with you, it's a privilege to work for a company that has all this, as we mentioned, in the core values that companies have. And also earlier we spoke about company culture and that type of thing. So the core values that the company has is quality. First of all, I think quality is very important and not manufacturing cheaply in order to enter a specific market segment.
Yeah.
So that was also part of it. So the quality is very important. Then the other thing is innovation, continuously innovating new products for this industry because this is one of the industries that are just – it's moving at such a pace.
Things are changing all the time. It's constantly evolving.
Constantly evolving. And the innovation is very important. Then we look at design. Design is important to other people in the industry, like our interior designers and also our end users. They look at beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
They want nice things. They want beautiful things that's going to look nice in their houses. So the design part is also very important. And then the other thing is that Klaus Grower also started the whole sustainability thing for us. So right from the word go, when he took over, I think it was in 1977, he took over as CEO of the company. And then he brought a lot of that sustainable nature into the business. It was there, but he just emphasized that. Manufacturing hand showers, for instance, with an eco switch. So you could change straight away from 100% usage to 50% of the normal usage of the product. Already in the 1980s, 1985, around there.
Then already?
Yes.
Okay.
Aeration. He brought aeration into mixers. And a lot of people don't know that.
Sure.
So so there's all these things that he brought to the industry. And then looking at not just manufacturing eco products, but also the way that we manufacture. So if I can put Hans Grower in one sentence, really, it is an innovative company that has the the end user in mind, making sure that the products fulfill that need, a certain need, but also in a sustainable way.
Mm.
So it's not just manufacturing sustainable products or eco-friendly products, but also doing that in a sustainable manner.
Mm.
So that is basically what we do. And a lot of people don't know this. We started off purely on shower technology. So the shower technology was the start for us. Then it moved into mixers. And after that, we went into kitchen mixers and then kitchen sinks. So we are now doing shower channels and also sanitaryware. So that is basically...
Types of products that you manufacture.
Correct.
But what is your obviously have, you said he was one of the first pioneers to take sales and marketing of a product outside of his let's call it municipal barriers or municipal boundaries.
Correct.
And even outside of the country in which he was based. So obviously you have an international, here you are, you're in South Africa, you've been working for Hansgrohe for 28 years already.
Correct.
Yourself.
Yes.
In South Africa.
Yeah.
Which means obviously you have an international footprint as well. Is that in only the major countries or in smaller countries as well? European, America, where do you have a footprint?
Yes. Okay. So in Germany we have 4 factories. Our main head office, where we also have what we call an aquademy, and excuse the aqua, water, mm-hmm. So it's aquademy. It's where we take people to go and view the product. We've got huge showrooms, working areas, and that is also where people go to get trained.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our main hub. And then we have 3 other factories also in some other areas in Germany. But then we also have a factory in America, and... we have a factory in France, a factory in China, and also the latest one, and I think that was a bit of a shocker for the industry, is during COVID, we actually built a factory in Serbia.
Right, sir.
So, yeah, so that's where we are based. In South Africa, we don't have a factory, so we purely import. But, yeah, that's how that... the whole scenario comes in. So, you know, we've got 35 subsidiaries all over the world and sales offices all over the world. So, but we are in the main city centers as well, obviously.
But I also see on the shirt that you're wearing, there's another brand as well. So is the Hansgrohe brand not the only brand that is manufactured and distributed under Hansgrohe umbrella? Is it, what other brands are there?
Yeah, and this is also a really nice question. Thank you for asking that. So Hansgrohe was the original brand that was started by the dad. And then in 1992, Klaus again came up with an idea that he wanted to create a brand within a brand, but that is marketed at the top LSM. Of our clients.
Of
the consumer. And the thing is, he then started collaborating with well-known international designers to design products for us. And that grew to a business where Axel was created and was then with Klaus's son, Philippe, that later on took over the brand Axel, started collaborating with really big designers like Philippe Stock, Antonio Citterio, Jean-Marie Massot. But so there's a whole list of them. So, and that is what makes a product very exclusive and concentrating a lot more on individualism in the bathroom. So you can create product or an environment in your bathroom that's completely individual to you.
Mm.
So that takes the brand again to the next level. Brings me to the other point. We were not going to play in a market below where we were. We were always going above that market. So looking at that different level. So, yes, that is it. So Axel's definitely very important for us. And again, Klaus Grohe was the father of that. And then just recently, we also bought partnership into another company called Hydroloop.
All right.
Now, Hydroloop is a grey water recycling company.
Oh, nice.
So they manufacture products that do grey water recycling, tying in again with the whole sustainability and the eco scenario. I mean, there's nothing worse than flushing toilets with drinking water.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is where that comes in.
A lot of potable water goes to waste as a result of that.
Correct. But years ago, we actually manufactured another product under our brand called Pontus, which was grey water recycling. But I think at that stage, the world was not ready for it. It was quite expensive, and we had to basically put that aside and can it because of the pricing. I think we have products, our Pontus products, installed in quite a few places in South Africa where they're still working, but it's now time to change, and I think that is where the Hydro Loop comes in, so we can exchange the Pontus units with the Hydro Loop.
All right.
And then also then market the Hydro Loop as an extra part of our business. So, yes, it's a big thing for us, as water is such a precious resource that we definitely have to look at how we treat it.
Yes, especially in a water-scarce country like South Africa.
Correct. I mean,
we do have that problem that we are a very water-scarce country.
Yes. So that's basically Hans Grohe. I would like to say in a nutshell, but the nutshell was quite peanut. But, that is basically what we are.
All right, so we've got an idea that it's sanitary ware. So obviously showers, shower heads, we've got taps, basins you mentioned. So let's talk about mixer technology, because you did mention that Hans Grohe and his son both have this innovative nature.
Correct.
And something like mixer technology, yes, we've known it for ages, we've known it for years. Mm-hmm. But how convenient is it, ne? How convenient is it for a consumer, for an end user? But let's talk about the technology itself, mixer technology, and how this technology benefits the end user. I mean, what benefits are there to it other than just the convenience of having one lever to use? What other value does it offer to the industry, to the trade, to the world, to the consumer?
So thank you again for that question, because the thing is, that is, again, where that innovative nature comes into play, where people don't just make taps or they don't just manufacture taps, because a lot of people say, well, a tap is a tap. You need the water. You open the lever. You can. So there's a lot of things that go into that product. Technologies that we develop in order to not just give the client a pleasurable product to work with or something that's going to last long, but also give certain little tweaks to it that makes it different to other products. So the first thing is, for instance, if we look at how the handle fixes to the cartridge. Now, if we talk about the cartridge, the plumbers will all know what a cartridge is. Most of the cartridges that are in these mixers nowadays are ceramic cartridges. They all basically work in the same way. But there's small little things that we do. Like, for instance, we have something that we call Baltic lever lock. So Baltic lever lock is the way that the handle is actually adhered to the spindle of that cartridge. Normally what manufacturers do is they use something that we call a grub screw, like a little screw that is screwed in front, and it actually tightens the handle onto that thing. But it is not secure. So Baltic lever lock is a system, and I'll show you maybe later on when we look at the products how that happens, where the bolt actually goes through the spindle and into the back of the handle that secures that handle. And you won't get loose handles. It won't pop off. You can't lose the grab screw. Small things. Mm. Then another technology that was also brought onto it was something that we call a safety function. Now, for those of us that still like children and – don't just get pets. No, I know it's the new thing like nowadays me, is like everybody wants pets. They don't want children. But where we have children running around in a house, they get to a stage where they want to be self-sufficient. They want to use the product themselves. My youngest daughter, she's now 21. Sorry, I'm going to mention her. Because she was quite wild. She used to get onto the bath, get onto the vanity, then sit in the basin and play with the taps.
Scalding.
So that safety function is available on the products, but no one would know that if no one told them about it. We do a lot of the training with the salespeople in order for them to train or to train the customer or inform the customer.
I mean, if your technician, the installer of the product, doesn't know about it, how are they going to inform the customer about it?
Exactly.
And then eventually, it's that technology, that safety mechanism is there, but nobody knows about it, so it's never going to be used. So it might just as well not be there.
Correct.
But what does it do?
So basically what this does is it's a manual setting that you can do on the cartridge. We've got like a little safety ring that we can limit the hot water usage. So you handle normally with the full usage, depending on what the hot water temperature is, 50, 55, or 60. Mm. We can then limit the handle from going all the way to the hot water in different increments. So you can stop it at the level where the customer would want it.
Yeah, with what they are comfortable with.
Correct. So it's completely, it can then later on when the children are big and they're out of the house, you can set it back. But so it's a safety function to protect people from scalding, but it is also then an energy saving device.
Oh, wow.
Because you are not using full hot water. You're not going that all 55 degrees Celsius or whatever it might be, and you can stop it at, say, 33 or 40 degrees Celsius. Yes. So you use less hot water. And we all know when you use less hot water, you save energy.
Yes.
So that is basically that type of technologies that are given or in the products.
Just to quickly ask, sorry to interrupt you like that, but just to quickly ask, that setting, is that done prior to installation, prior to fitting it onto a tub or in a shower, you know, on a shower wall or on a basin? Or is it something that can be set? Must the thing be, the contraption be taken apart to set that? Or how's it set?
Yeah, okay. So it's actually something that is only set once the product, or just before it starts to be used.
All right.
Okay, so when you've got your hot water temperature set and your cold water temperature and everything is in place, you can simply remove the handle and then remove that bolt that I spoke about. Then this is the only time that bolt actually comes off the cartridge, by the way. And then you can then set that ring to whatever position or temperature you need, and then you put the handle back. So it's not something that you have to take the cartridge apart. Mm. The nice thing about this is that this technology is on the cartridge already. It's not something that you have to buy separately. Yes. It is there.
Sure.
And you know, a lot of people, you know, when they walk around and they start shopping for sanitary brassware products, they would sometimes come to my showroom and say, but no one told me about this. Mm. And they've been to 5 or 6 other stores. Mm. And that is sort of worrying because I train those people to sell.
Yeah.
But if they don't inform the customer, the customer will buy the product, they won't know about it.
Yeah.
So that is the type of thing that I like to emphasize always, you know, inform the customer so that they can make informed decisions.
Yes.
And so that is basically that technology is something that people don't really know of if someone doesn't tell them, and it's something extra.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to have that innovative mind to think of something like that.
Yeah.
Always bringing something that is an improvement on what existed before it, something that is either more convenient, easier to use, safer to use, quicker to use, saves more.
Correct.
It's always an improvement on what was before.
But
let's talk about concealed mixers, right? I mean, when I looked at your website and when you sent me a couple of things that you would like to speak about in the podcast, I said, concealed mixers? Where's that? How does this work? I'm going to leave that to you. I do know that you've got a couple of tips that you would like to give to the guys about concealed mixer installations, but let's talk about the concealed mixers.
So, you know, we all grew up with taps and tapper that was sitting exterior of a wall, like what you've got on this poster. It's an external mixer that is mounted. And then later on, the technology changed to concealed mixers where we were reducing the amount of space that was taken up in the shower, because we have these big valves on the outside. They get in the way, and especially with the showers are small, reducing the profile of the mixer protruding into the shower by concealing the working parts into the wall. So that is where concealed mixer technology comes from. So instead of just having your hot and cold water coming out of the wall, we are now putting it inside the wall with the mechanisms and everything working inside there.
How do you Does that mean the you know, the building contractor or the plumber now has to create a cavity for it in the wall?
Correct.
All right.
That is basically what it has to be, yes.
Okay.
So we changed. A lot of it has changed from exposed mixes to concealed mixes purely because of, yes, the aesthetic value of it, because it is nicer looking than something protruding out a wall. And more designs and that type of thing could be done. But also from a technological perspective, we could do a lot. Now, we all know, you know, when you've got a concealed mix in the wall, that the piping needs to be connected in the wall onto this this product, your hot and cold water feeds, and then your external, like for instance, if you have an overhead shower and hand shower, if you have a normal shower mixer or a diverter mixer. So what I want to get to quickly is, again, Mr. Klaus Grover. So he came up with a product that we called a universal eye box. Let's call it a universal installation box, for the better word. I don't think that's actually what it meant, but it's an eye box is something, it's a concealed part that goes into a wall.
Right.
Now, previously, when I started with the company, you know, we had a shower mixer body, a diverter mixer body, then thermostatic mixer bodies for this function and that function. So we had all these different bodies or concealed parts that were sent to sites. Plumbers would install them in different areas, in the wrong areas, sometimes upside down. So there was a lot of these bodies and concealed parts being installed on sites, and there were mistakes made. So Klaus went and said, let's create a universal concealed part. So it's one concealed part that can house up to 16 different applications.
Yes, like
currently, I think it's more now, 200 plus different finishing sets.
Jeez, like.
Universally, in the way that I could mount a standard shower mixer for one function. I could mount a diverter mixer with two functions. I can then also go into thermostatic technology and have different functionalities on thermostatic technology. And I'll explain also a bit more about thermostats. But thermostatic technology with select functions, so push-button technology.
Yes.
So it gave us the groundwork to build on with new technology.
Yep.
And that was launched in the year 2000.
All right. That's the future. When when you and I were lighties, we said, okay, the year 2000 is the future.
That's the future.
It's awesome to think that futuristic invention was launched then.
Correct. And that was that big Y2K thing, you know?
Yes, so I remember all the computers had to be checked.
Yeah.
And here you come out with technology like that in the plumbing sector.
Correct. But the thing is, you know, with all these new technology that you bring into the market has its challenges. And I must admit, you know, it's very difficult when you bring new technology. Our plumbers are used to working with a specific type of product, and then now you bring in something completely different. Mm. So sometimes it can also be problematic.
Mm.
So then again, that is why training and what we are doing here is so important, so that we can get people updated on new technology.
Yeah.
Because technology is not going to stop. We will stop, but technology will carry on.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I am very, very passionate about is our installers, our plumbers, needing to move with the times, because that's the only way that you will carry on in this business. Yeah. The one thing AI cannot do is go and fix Mrs. Rademan's pipes.
Yeah.
Or do their installations. So they are in a unique, privileged position where AI is not going to take over that. Not soon anyway, unless they get robots.
And I always say this, and it might be sound like cliche, but the fact is, for as long as we call ourselves civilized and have civilization, and be civilized people who need taps with potable water coming out of it, and sanitary ware like toilets, flushable toilets, those kind of things, there's going to be plumbing work that need to be done.
Correct.
And there's always going to be people who would like the more innovative technology, because it's more convenient, it's safer, it saves energy, all the benefits and the advantages thereof that you've mentioned in the conversation so far.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be people who are your higher LSM who want the prettier stuff.
Yes.
The more beautiful stuff. The stuff that is a higher end finishing than your normal, that, you know, your, you, there's a difference. There's always going to be a market for it.
Yeah.
And if a plumber doesn't stay up to date with what's going on in his trade and his industry, he's going to stagnate. And he's going to be that plumber who cannot properly install a Hansgrohe tap or a higher end technology device or a product for his customer.
Yeah.
And he's always never going to be able to deliver that service because he doesn't know how to install it.
Correct. And that is why it's important what you guys are doing. And you guys meaning PRB and making sure that there's continuous education. Whether it is linked to a CPD point or not, it shouldn't be about the points. It should be about just gaining knowledge.
Yes.
And making sure that you remain relevant in this industry. So I think that is that what makes this also this opportunity for me such a precious thing, because I can also be part of it. So yeah, I don't want to carry on and on about it, but that is what makes Hansgrohe such a great company to work for, because there's continuous innovation coming, continuous development into sustainable products. So much so that by 2030, and this is our mission, so by 2030, all our products that you will find in the market will be eco-friendly.
Nice.
Every single product. Low flow rates, less energy, all that type of things. And that is the mission going forward.
Tian, 2030 is only 4 years away. Eh? Five years away.
Mm-hmm. We are already, we're basically there.
Yeah.
If I can mention to you that this is also some of our missions was to actually get all our manufacturing facilities climate neutral.
Mm.
And we managed that in 22. Sure. 2022, we got all our manufacturing facilities climate neutral.
Aita.
So that is how far we are going. And the nice thing about it is all this information is available. Mm. Anybody can go and look at it.
Mm.
So it's not like, because there's a lot of greenwashing going on in the industry, basically all industries, everybody's looking to be more sustainable, but there's a lot of greenwashing going on.
Yes.
Whereas we are so transparent about it. You can go and look at our reports, and these reports are actually put together by third parties. It's not by people in our company. So, that's the company that I work for.
But speaking of your constantly moving forward and constantly thinking of new stuff that's eco-friendly or more sustainable, supports sustainability. There was something that you mentioned earlier that I didn't quite expect to have in this conversation. I mean, it wasn't even something that I thought it existed. I'm the layperson, right? I'm not a plumber.
Okay.
That was thermostatic technology or thermostatic mixers. Did I hear you correctly?
Correct, yes.
What can you tell me about that?
Okay, thermostatic technology has been around a long, long time, where it basically has a function, and I want to sketch this scenario, for instance. Say, for instance, you're in the shower, 5 o'clock in the morning having a shower, and someone flushes a toilet or opens up a cold water tap. Suddenly, you burn because
you get too cold.
There's some cold water being taken away from where you are because you're sharing water with something else. Now, it normally happens where there's a heavily imbalanced pressure system, but it happens.
Yes.
In hotels, for instance, you'll have people showering at specific times, time slots. So say from 6 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock in the morning is your high traffic area when it comes to showering. You always get temperature and pressure fluctuations in these things.
Mm.
So what thermostatic mixers do, the technology that is built into what we call a cartridge, the thermostatic cartridge, is something that we call a wax capsule technology.
All right.
So there's wax in it. It's a copper casing inside. It's like a sliding unit inside that cartridge. Copper casing with wax. And the wax reacts very quickly to temperature changes. So what would happen if cold water is being withdrawn from your mixer? The hot water heats up that element. it expands and it closes the hot water intake. Hmm. It doesn't close it, but it keeps the temperature constant.
Sure.
So where these things really come into play is like, for instance, hotels, but more where there's people in hospitals, paraplegics, where they work with babies, you know, where they wash babies in the hospitals.
It's people who can't really react as fast as you and I can.
Correct.
You know, if that hot water suddenly sprays on you in a shower, you and I can quickly get out of the shower.
That's it.
Back, you know, back away from it.
Yeah.
But an infant or a person who's, you know, physically disabled or an elderly person, they can't move as, you know, as quickly as we can.
No.
So they're going to get scalded if they can't, if something like that doesn't exist.
Correct. And the beauty of this is it happens without human intervention. So it does it by itself. And that's amazing.
Yes, like, I mean, that's like it's a smart tap.
Correct. Hey? Yeah, you could call it a smart tap. But you know, the technology has been around for ages.
Yes.
And we've been using, I mean, even before I started with the company, thermostatic mixers were already available. You know, it's something like that, for instance, changes the whole way that we think about taps. And I like to call it taps and tapper, because some people call it tapper. But your taps, it's not just a tap.
Yeah.
It's there's technology that goes into it that really makes it different and makes it beneficial to the end user. And that's, yeah. And also from an energy saving perspective, thermostatic mixers can also be limited so that it doesn't use total full hot water temperature.
Yeah. And again.
So, yeah, sustainable.
Tian, I want us to go and set up quickly to do a you know, a little bit of a showcasing of some of your products, but just very, very quickly, like, you know, with all good things, we are running out of time for this episode. Just before we quickly set up there, speaking about a tap is not a tap is not a tap anymore. Mm. Just quickly, what can you tell us about shower and bath mixer technology, specifically shower and bath mixer?
Yes. Okay, so with the new technologies that we've now started, like I mentioned the iBox that was launched in the year 2000. So it served us well for 25 years. There's now an upgrade on that. So iBox 2 that was introduced last year, year before.
All right.
And that brings new interactive a new way for the end user to interact with the product. You know, small little things like diverter mixers. Most diverter mixers work with a spring-loaded lever that you or button that you pull out or press in,
mm-hmm.
and there's a certain amount of pressure needed to keep that button open.
Yeah, I hate it when mine drops.
So if the pressure drops, that thing drops.
Yeah.
Okay, so it goes back. So changing the technology from having that type of diverter ASI to a diverter valve.
Okay.
Where it's not pressure related anymore. So it changes quite a bit. New thermostatic technology also where we interact differently, where we can simply, by pressing a plate or pressing a button, activate a spray or deactivate a function. So the interaction changes completely. Bath, shower, they are available different shapes and colors and, you know, finishes. People love different finishes nowadays. It's a big thing. And then also looking at the way that we interact, and I want to show you also when we showcase the product later on, some other technologies that were also brought into it. But shower mixers and bath mixers have, again, gone through a big change.
Yeah.
And how it works and how you interact with the product. But also for the plumber, for the installer, making it less time consuming.
All
so
right.
Less time in the installation also means less time that you have to spend installing that specific product, and you can move some onto something else.
Yeah.
As we all also earlier said, the time's money.
Yeah, especially for plumbers. No work, no pay. So the more time you spend on something, you know, the more you lose money. So the quicker you can move on to the next part, the more money you can earn on a day.
Correct.
Dion, that's lekker. Listen, I want us to quickly go and set up, and I want to see some of the products. I hope you brought quite a bit.
I did bring some. I couldn't bring everything that I wanted to share with you, but I think I brought a nice variation of products that I could show, also share something with, you know, with our plumbers, and also make their jobs easier. Maybe next time they find one of my products on site.
Cool beans. Let's go set up quickly.
Okay, thank you very much.
Jan Lekker. So I'm excited to see what you brought for us. I know that you mentioned while we were setting this up, you said you quickly want to show something like old and new.
Correct.
And yeah, I'm going to give the floor to you.
Okay, yeah. So thank you very much, Willem. And I'm here to obviously share old and new with you. And I don't like calling it old and new. So for the sake of this exercise, I'm going to call this Universal iBox.
All right.
I spoke to you about it as well. Universal iBox 1. So this is the original guy that was basically launched in 2000. Okay, so this is a universal concealed part, and this is just part of the finishing set, and this is what we call a function block.
All right.
So the function block gets built into the universal eye box, and I'm not going to do this now because I want to spend a bit more time with the newer technology. But so this product at some stage gets built into this concealed part, and then depending on what type of function block you have, whether it's a shower mixer function block, diverter function block, or a thermostatic function block like we have here, all this can fit into this universal iBox 1.
Mm.
So you also said this is now what we call the cover plate. This is the shiny stuff that you see at the end after the tile. So all these things make up a mixer.
Mm.
Okay. So universally, this will adapt to whatever function I want on here. Perfectly made for drywall or brick wall installation. So you can utilize this in all types of installations, as I mentioned, a brick or drywall. It is made for drywall, especially with the type of fixation that you get. So with this ring that you see here, can actually be used on the drywall to fix it to the drywall itself.
Okay.
And then sometimes with bolts like this, onto a back wall, and the drywalling can go on top of that. Now, I want to show this because I want to also illustrate the differences between the two and why the changes were made. So this product has got a symmetric installation, so it doesn't have a top or a bottom.
All right. I was about to ask you, why does it have so many inlets and outlets?
Correct.
But I think that's pretty much what you're saying now. That's
so symmetric. So you can install it any which way you want. As long as your hot water is left and your cold water is right. Right.
Hot to left, the plumbers, right.
Cold right. And I know everybody laughs when I say this, but I had a call this morning, especially with, again, something where they swap their hot and cold on this thing. So just for that information, we can help. If the hot and cold water on the universal iBox was installed the wrong way around, we can remedy it with an adapter that we can build on in the inside. So you don't have to chop the wall.
You don't have to break the tiles, the expensive tiles, and chop open the plaster again and things
correct.
Like that. So there is a solution.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Okay,
and cool. Then also with the iBox 1, when you're using it for a diverter mixer installation, there is a way that you have to pipe it. So the primary function needs to come from the bottom,
right.
The secondary function from the top. People started using diverter bath mixers in showers, and it's never supposed to be like that, or it was never supposed to be like that. So therefore, the top outlet is always your second function.
All right.
Bath spout, hand shower.
Yes.
So now they install this in showers where we have an overhead shower and a hand shower. So now, when they pipe from the top into the overhead shower, the first thing that comes on is the hand shower. So therefore, that also creates problems. To fix that, we can use that same adapter then to switch the primary and secondary inside here. Don't chop the wall. But yeah, so I think it's just because we had all these problems, solutions had to be made. And Hans Grohe thought of these things. So that was basically brilliant for the iBox One. The other thing with the iBox One is that it comes with 3/4 inch in and outlets.
All right.
So that was especially made for high flow thermostatic mixers where we had showers with multiple spray or fittings inside the shower, like an overhead shower or 2 overhead showers and a hand shower. Jets from the side. You know, a lot of people want showers that's like a car wash. Mm. When you walk in there, you get sprayed from all sides.
Yeah.
You need high volumes of water.
Exactly.
And that is what thermostatic mixers could give to us. High flow thermostatic mixers could give us a 59 liters per minute flow rate at 3 bar. High flow rate.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so this is what this was meant for. The other thing is with the iBox One is that you had to, after the tiling, this sticker that's on here would indicate your finished tile surface. So your tile could end there, anywhere in between there and there, minimum and maximum. If it's too deep, install too deep, because sometimes clients change their mind.
Mm.
From a 5 mil tile or a 10 mil tile, they go and put a 20 mil marble slab on the wall. Suddenly this product is too deep.
Mm.
There's extension for that as well.
Okay.
So we can build a 25 mil extension on the inside so you don't have to chop the wall.
So obviously your engineers were thinking ahead.
Correct. The other thing is also sometimes these products were installed too proud of the wall because the plumber expected a tile to come on.
Mm.
And then the customer changes and they say, no, but I just want textured paint because that happens from a design perspective. Now suddenly this product's just sitting too proud of the wall and the finishing set, when it goes on, it leaves a gap between the wall and your finished plate.
Mm.
So therefore we made an extension. I don't have those here, but just to tell you, a 22 mil extension ring that you could put behind this plate
still
in order to take up that space.
Visibly appeasing.
Visibly, I would call not so nice because now your cover plate is that thick.
But at least.
But it looks nice.
Yeah.
It's not an eyesore.
Mm.
But it's a solution in order not to having to take off tiles and chop and all sorts of stuff. So just wanting to explain. So the extensions are there to help the installer
it's a solution to a problem.
Correct.
Yeah. It's
the only thing is it's a solution to a problem, but it does cost money. So it's not, you're not going to get it for free because it is an installation issue.
Sure.
Okay. So it's not a product related problem. Then also with the iBox One, once the tiling is done, whatever sticks out after the tile needs to be cut off.
All right.
So it does, you know, say for instance, if the tile ends there, whatever sticks out after that, you have to cut off. Okay. Then you seal between this hulls, so this sleeve, and the tile, so that it becomes a watertight installation.
Okay.
Now, a lot of manufacturers don't do watertight installations. So if you look at this unit, so the functionality of this, once the function block and everything is built into this unit and any leak occurs inside here, not external because that's where your piping is connected. If any leak occurs inside here, the water is then allowed to run outside the tile, not back into your wall.
Mm.
There are these seals on the inlets and outlets. So it seals everything on the inside. Water cannot condense here. It will move outside.
All right.
Also, you know, taking away the chance of water damage to your wall.
For sure.
If it is installed correctly. So you have to cut it out after the tile. Then in the package, well, in the packaging, we get 4 plastic screws and 4 metal screws.
Okay.
So the 4 metal screws is there to adhere the function block to the body.
All right.
Okay. The 4 plastic screws is there to fix another thing that helps with watertight installations. So this gets mounted onto the iBox against the tile.
All right.
So say for instance, this is the tile. It will go onto the tile here. Your finishing set, your cover plate will then go over there. But if any water runs down the tile, it will not go and run back into the wall. So sometimes people say, yes, but there's a lot of over-engineering. Mm. But it's meant to be protecting the wall.
Exactly.
Remember, we do a lot of drywall installations. You can't have water running back into the wall.
That's a lot of damage, and it'll cost a lot of money to fix it when it, you know, over time, the damage it causes Again, that's money for the consumer to pay to fix those damages, those Correct. Water damage.
So we have to look after the end user in that respect. And then I'm just going to take one of these screws out of here. So this is the well, it's a Teflon screw. It's a synthetic screw that you use to screw this onto the body that seals against the tile. Right. Now, in the installation process, the plumber has to do a measurement from the inside where it screws on to where you've cut this off. Take that measurement plus 11 mil. You have to cut it
to size. The actual screw, yeah.
Yes, you have to cut it to size. Therefore, this is not a metal screw.
All right.
It is a synthetic screw. So it reduces noise emission. So it dampens noise because it's not metal.
Sure.
And it's easy to cut. You can cut it with pliers.
Yeah.
So all this innovative stuff comes from Klaus Grower. As I mentioned, this guy is, he was just amazing for us.
It's obviously considering a lot of scenarios, considering scenario on top of scenario on top of scenario. But what Correct. About this? What if this? What if this? What if that? Okay, let's put a solution
100%. In. So the solutions are always there. Wasn't maybe there from the beginning, but as we grew, we obviously got to these solutions. The other thing is, to mount the iBox One, for drywall installation, this is fine. But for brickwork installation, this needs to come off.
Sure.
So there's two
the black piece.
This black
All right.
piece here. It's a flexible installation ring. That needs to come off. On this product, there's four little pieces that stick out. I call it prongs. And that is meant for a spirit level.
All right.
So in the installation, it needs to be level this way.
Okay.
And it also needs to be level that way. So therefore, there's those hooks.
All right. And remember not to cut those off with before. The piece that sticks out.
You have to make sure
before you made sure it was level.
Correct. Okay, later on, Hans Grower came with an installation tool. It was like a little thing that you could clip on here with the spirit levels on it. So this way and oh, that nice. Way. So there was, that tool's also available. The thing is with this is it's basically round. Mm. So it's difficult to get set up in a wall.
Exactly, yeah.
So that brings me now to the new technology. In iBox 2, when they redesigned the iBox 2, let's call it iBox 2.0. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people like to use that 2.0 thing. They designed it in such a way to make the installation shorter, help the installer not having to spend all that time because now there's no more cutting. You don't have to cut stuff. No more screws, no more sleeves that you have to cut. And what they've done, I want to quickly just show this around, turn this around. So this is not the complete thing that needs to be built into the wall. This is just simply a training tool.
All right. So this box with the three slabs here, this is your training.
This is a training tool.
This is supposedly the wall into which you're going to fit
Correct.
This piece. And this is your actual...
That's it. So this part here would illustrate the wall.
All right.
Okay. This is just for me to go loosen this. And I can move this backwards.
For your training purposes.
For training purposes.
And yes, it's the concealed
Correct.
Mixer.
So when you look on the inside here, and I'm actually going to take this out if you don't mind me, oh, there the tile goes. All right, so this is supposed to be the tile.
All right.
Okay. So instead of having a sleeve to cut, they've given us this as a slidable sleeve. So you can now, from your maximum installation, which is basically there, to your minimum installation depth, which is basically there, all you have to do is slide it back.
Sure.
So what they've done also in this case is they made the concealed body that goes into the wall square.
All right.
So it's much easier to actually get it set up in the wall before you start, you know, your installation.
But it also has its own little spirit level, water level. I don't know if I can show it to the camera.
So it comes there with a circular level that can also be removed depending because this product is also has got a symmetric design. It doesn't have a top or a bottom.
Oh, okay.
So you can install it which way you want. As long as hot is left, cold is right. Mm. And you've got your outlets necessary, one or two outlets. So this circular level can be removed.
All right.
And you can take it home and just go and see if your desk at home's level, your wife's level or whatever, you can use this.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't have to leave it on there. But from a functionality point of view, they also reduced the inlet and outlets from 3/4 inch in iBox 1 to 1/2 inch. A lot of the plumbers complained that they were piping 1/2 inch piping, and now they've got a 3/4 inch inlet and outlet. Yeah. So they had to buy adapter bushes for the installation. So we moved over to the 1/2 inch connections rather. And also because our company is becoming more eco-friendly, we are manufacturing products that have low flow rates. We don't need those higher flow rates anymore. Okay, so that is basically it. So this part here is just to illustrate how we can manipulate the installation here from the depth in the wall.
What is this material? What is it?
Well, it's a high-density foam.
All right.
So the high-density foam changes from the plastic here to a much better noise insulator. So it insulates noise. So we've got a class one noise insulated product. Also thermal resistant, so less heat emission inside the wall. And especially when you're doing drywalling, you don't want heat evaporating into that wall. So this is much better from a noise perspective as well as heat transfer.
All right.
That's the basics of it. Now, when you look at this unit, I just want to quickly see if I can turn it this way. So there's a lot more that I can tell you about this. But say, for instance, this is now installed into the wall. This is your plaster. I'm just going to use this as the plaster. This membrane comes as part of the actual sliding sleeve now.
All right.
Okay. Previously, with the iBox 1 installation, this membrane comes separately. Mm. And people would just throw it away.
But what does it do? What is its purpose?
So again, from a secondary waterproofing. So in between your plaster wall and your tile, this will then seal. So no water can penetrate the wall.
All right.
So this comes with the sleeve now. And no, well, can't be chucked away. So that's the most important part of this unit. And then, if you can, don't mind me just giving the tile again. Okay, just imagine I'm the tiler. This thing is now sitting in the wall. Okay, sorry, just going to get it. It's magnetic, this tile. So you will see the sleeve here sits just outside
flush.
The tile.
It's slightly other than so like a millimeter, but now you're making it flush.
I can basically just push it flush with the tile.
Sure.
Take some silicon, seal around here. Now you've got a watertight installation.
Yes.
So again, if any leak happens here, it will run outside the tile. So with the new finishing sets, what they've done is they've created a function block that has a combination. It's basically the function block and the subplate that we use on the old one in one go.
Sure.
With iBox 1, the screws and everything came in a separate pocket or packet inside the box. The fixation screws here is mounted on the function block, on the body, okay? Cannot be lost.
All right.
You can't throw it away or lose it. It's there. So it's actually so easy going for this. This is, for instance, it's a thermostatic mixer, and you'll see it's quite a considerable product. Brass body with all the function in it. And all that needs to happen now is I need to insert this product from the front. There, okay, and I have to then use four screws. Sorry, I know that I'm standing in front there. I'm not going to use four screws. I'm just going to tighten this one.
Just to hold it in place.
Yeah, just to hold it in place. So I can tighten the function block onto the body that's in the wall. Then I'm going to use my very handy Hans Grohe screwdriver. Take out the flat. So you'll see that there's two locks there.
All right.
I then go
I unlock these. I go and I press this tight against the tongue.
All right.
And then I just go and, another, lock them into place. You check, age is a very bad thing. Okay. So now this thing is locked into place. It's tight.
Sure.
And even if this, because it's a square unit, if it's slightly skew, 3 degrees, I can play with it and then lock it into place. Yes. So again, sometimes you get those mixes where the plate's hanging a bit to the one side.
Yeah.
You can rectify it by doing this.
Yeah.
Then I go and I press this in. So this is the actual actuating of a function.
All right.
So I'm going to quickly ask you if you can just pass me there that plate, the bottom plate that you've got there. And I just want to illustrate how quick it is. Clear indication of where the hot and the cold is. Red and blue. Hot's left, cold's right, 100% right. Okay, so I'm going to do this quickly. Click it in. Done. The top, and this is the actual actuator. So this is for a single function. So this goes in at the top. I'm just going to do that. Bob's your Auntie Mary. So then, extra functionality. Thermostatic mixers. You know when you want to reduce the volume of water that you are using currently? In a normal shower mixer, you would just take the handle back to its original position, so it'll do that. So here, I'm just going to check that it's in the closed position. I'm going to take this lever, pop it on. And then, from an installation perspective, when we're working with thermostatic mixers, you have to calibrate the thermostatic mixer first, before putting the handle on.
Okay.
What that means is I run the hot and cold water, and because all plumbers have thermometers in their vehicles, you take the thermometer, test the water temperature, get it to 40 degrees Celsius simply by taking this dial, changing there, you can move
it
like that, get to 40 degrees Celsius, because at the top we've got a safety function at 40 degrees Celsius. And then only I take my handle the right way around, and then I pop the handle on. So what happens now is I can move to the cold water side, but when I go hotter, it will stop at that 40 because I've calibrated the mixer. But if I want to go hotter than that, I have to press the button at the bottom, and then I can move. So it's a safety function for children and elderly people when they use the product. So the functionality here is I walk into the shower, I want to activate the overhead shower, all I have to do is this.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm activating so I can open and close, open and close. That's how easy it is. You see how that changes how we operate with product.
That's on another level.
Definitely at another level. So if I had to do proper training on this, it will take me, I would say, about an hour, you know, to go through every single step. But that is, I think, where it comes to, you know, when we arrange more training. The other thing is also that ring that I spoke about here, this flexible ring for the drywall installations. We have something similar, but you'll see here at the back, there's a green ring. I don't know if you'll be able to see it here. That green ring is something similar to this, but in this case, we used it as a mounting bracket on a wall, and then you come with a mixer, so it becomes a mounting element.
Okay.
So, yeah, so a lot of things changed with this technology. And it will give us, and as we say, this is the future, and we will build obviously onto that technology. So, Willem, if you don't mind, I want to also just move over to some of the basin mixer technology.
I'm
going to
take this off.
So, there's one thing that I always do. We've got two different types of basin mixers here, and I don't know how much time I've got left, but I would like to show this to you. We discussed the anti-scalding device or the safety function on a basin mixer. So, and we also discussed something that we called well, the
securing
the
bolt?
No, the Baltic block. Okay, that secures the handle. So what I will first do is I'll show you how the technology works on the safety function. So that little rubber I push in, that is just there so that you don't spray cleaning material, cleaning liquids and stuff in there and causes a problem. So with this guy here, you use six full turns. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's not a grub screw that you're going to lose. So on the product here, retrieve that rubber always.
Mm-hmm.
So on the product here, you will see the way that the bolt actually connects on here.
I see.
It connects at an angle, and it goes right through the spindle. So if I go, and again, just put that in there. If I go and I tighten that, you'll see the screw goes right through the back.
Yeah.
And that is what gives me the opportunity to do the following thing. I'm going to actually put this back and I'll show you what it can do. Do you mind me doing
a quick demonstration?
Or using a bit of showmanship?
Do it. Okay. Remember your rubber.
No, the rubber I'm not going to use now. So I'm going to just put this thing because I can. Normally you would not have to tap on the floor, but it's on a Perspex stand for display purposes and also for this purpose. So what I will do now, just to illustrate the strength of that adhesion of the handle to the cartridge, is do this. Okay, and I want to do that. Now, I'm not going to give away my weight.
Well,
but I'm not a lightweight. Okay, so just, and that is just to indicate how strong this thing is. Why you pay more for products like this is because of that.
Yeah.
You know, all that technology that comes with it. And then I'm going to quickly illustrate also that safety function. So for this, I'm going to remove the handle and I'm going to remove the bolt completely. This is the only time that we remove that bolt from the cartridge.
What is it called? You had a specific name for it?
Baltic lever lock.
Baltic lever lock. Okay.
Yeah. So that is basically it. And then I'm going to just remove this ring here. So, man, sometimes it works so lekker. sometimes
you need a flat.
Yeah, sometimes you need a flat.
There's
okay,
a flat.
So there's a flat. I'm going to quickly do that now. And I don't want to use up too much time, but just so that you can see. So there's the nut that keeps the cartridge in place. Okay, so what we're going to do now is I'm going to take the cartridge spindle, move it all the way to the cold water side.
All right.
Then I'm going to use, again, my flat. Sometimes it's also easy, or it's not my flat. Here's my flat. Just take this off. So I can actually show you what it looks like. There you go. I think I've got it gripped. Okay, so this is the ring. Now, what I'm going to do now, just for the sake of this, I'm going to put it into a position here, and I will show you where the handle goes on. You will find me, sorry, there. Okay, so that will be your cold water.
Fully open to cold.
So if I do that,
it can't go fully open to hot.
That's it.
Oh, nice.
So that's your safety function. Okay, sure. So that's done. Then I also want to just share something else with you. Looking at human interaction with product, from a sustainability perspective, energy saving. Mm. So this is a product, when you have your lever in the center like this, and this one here, when you open the mixer at that level, you get equal hot and cold water.
Yeah.
Pouring through the mixer.
Sure.
Or activated. When I open this mixer in this position, only cold water is activated.
Okay.
So no water is taken from your geyser.
Energy saving.
Every time you open there, only cold water comes out.
And when you turn it, obviously, that's when you get
hot water.
Sure.
Great. And yeah, that's basically it. What I wanted to share with you and the viewers and the guys. So,
but again, this is thinking in advance. This is thinking innovatively. This is coming up with technology that not only solves problems or addresses problems, but it also is convenient.
Yeah.
It's for convenient. And then it's fancy too, you know.
It's, it's got a nice bit of a looker as well, yeah.
Beautiful. But listen, Tiana, again, we're going to go close down this episode now. We have run out of time, or we're busy running out of time.
That's it.
But I want to thank you again for showing this. And, you know, the technical jargon and the technical detail is what our plumbers crave.
Yes.
And it's lucky to have a technical guy here to discuss it with
us. Excellent. It was a pleasure. And it was really, it's mind-blowing that we have this opportunity.
Lucky. Let's go close up this episode.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Tiaan, thanks for that. Always lucky to see the products, you know, to see the actual thing. And I think it carries a lot of value to our viewers as well, to our plumbers. They always want to see the thing that you were talking about, especially that iBox 2. That was quite interesting to see how the whole thing fits together and how it works and fits and how it's installed. But just in closing, because again, all good things come to an end. This podcast episode has to come to an end. We did run out of time for now.
Oh, no.
But in closing, just a quick one. Do you have any last words that you want to say? Any, like, warranty issues, if plumbers get warranty issues, and which stores can they go and look for your products and find your products? After-sales services, training for that matter. I'm going to give the floor to you again.
Thank you, Willem. I really appreciate it. Thank you. It's been awesome to share some of this product with you and with our viewers. So, from a Hans Grohe point of view, the warranties that we offer are just 15 years. Most manufacturers now offer the 15-year warranties and everything like that. But what is, I think, something that we do offer is the after-sales service side of the business. So we employ our own technicians.
All right.
In most of the areas. So some of the outlying areas, we would use outsourced plumbers to do our maintenance, but mostly our own technicians, like in the big centers like Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban, those areas. So what is important then, if my product is installed and something goes wrong, there's a procedure that has to take place. Unfortunately, in the old days, it was easy, just phone Tiaan or whoever was in that area and you could book a service call. We work for a corporate company, so we have to abide by the rules. So now it is, you have to send a mail. An email. And
have it on black and white, right?
Have it on black and white.
Not just a voice call anymore.
Correct.
And the evidence must be there.
Yes. And the thing is also for us, it's important because, you know, the business has grown tremendously. So it's very difficult to keep track of everything. We have processes. Once that service call is booked, the person that booked that service call will get a ticket number and we can follow it up and make sure that we get a technician then.
Yeah.
So that is basically from a service perspective. And then with the product being available, it's available in most of your plumbing, known plumbing stores.
Yeah, for your instance, major franchises.
Major franchises.
Independent stores, local stores.
We do deal with quite a few independent stores and also very high-end luxury bathroom stores.
All right.
So with Axel, obviously, because it's at that high level, you have to basically look at the distribution in those type of shops as well. But in most of the major plumbing stores, you would get our
product. Or
building supply stores. Yes. So it is readily available. And I can do something that I do with all my plumbers in Africa. I can give you the opportunity to have my mobile
number. Right.
All the plumbers that I've ever trained in Africa has my number. And they use that sometimes just to say hi, but a lot of the times to get advice, maybe ask a question, send me a WhatsApp.
Mm.
So I will also offer that to
You must be careful to offer it to plumbers. We've got tens of thousands of registered plumbers.
It is what it is. I think it is very important that you know that there's backup.
Mm.
rather ask the question before the mistake happens. And that is something that I want to share with everybody. Man, I know reading is not great.
Yeah.
Especially when you're on a site. But open up that manual.
Yeah.
Just have a look. If that doesn't help, phone a friend. Okay. Get someone that knows. Because once the product is installed, the wall is tiled.
Yes.
And the problem exists. It becomes an expensive exercise. So I would say, yes, come for the training. We set up training. We can do it at my offices. I actually do training on sites.
Yeah.
So, and that is something that if you don't contact me, I wouldn't know.
Yes.
But we can arrange training basically anywhere. Yeah.
The two of us have also spoken about doing training sessions together, specifically to our registered plumbers.
Yeah.
We've got a great audience for you, and I think that it will also carry a lot of value to them. Yeah. It's always the good thing is that you can have an excellent product. Tian, we mentioned it in our conversation that an installer, the technician, can either make or break your brand. If they do a poor job of the installation, you know, the brand's reputation and the product's reputation can be harmed. It can be detrimental.
Correct.
But if they know how to correctly install this technology, I mean, it's not just a tap is not just a tap anymore.
No.
It's something, an innovative technology. If they know how to correctly install it, and hence the training is so important. If they know how to correctly install it, chances of them making a mistake and the brand getting damaged in that regard is none to very little.
Correct.
So I'm actually looking forward to us, working together on that and putting together some training for our plumbers. Same and way. Adding that value from Hans Grohe's side.
Correct.
The more informed they are, the more informed they can, make their customers and the end users.
100%. And as I also mentioned, there's like a lot of people don't understand the influence that plumbers have. The installers have huge influence, especially with the end user. People will use plumbers that they know, can do the job, and they will also recommend them. So, we have installers that are in a unique position. If you have the training, you have the knowledge, you will get the job.
Mm.
And I think that is very important that we do go forward and make sure that there's enough training happening.
Sure.
And, when I give people information or I give them tips on certain things, they can use it and they can also train the people that start off with them.
Yeah.
So the new plumbers.
Exactly.
Yes.
Tian, it was fantastic having Hans Grohe in studio with me.
Thank you.
Thanks for the information you shared. Thanks for the products you displayed for us and showcased for us. Looking forward to doing more stuff together with Hans Grohe.
Thank you, Willem. It was a pleasure, and it was really nice. You do these things, you never know what to expect, and this was really nice. Thank you.
Awesome. Tian, we'll do it again.
Thanks, Willem.